Okay, there's the cowbell. Okay, hey, this is Chip Owens for the Salt Creek Gazette podcast, and I'm here today in Peaks of Otter, Virginia, at a campground with my old friends, the Bobsey Bums, and who are both have funny looks on their faces because they're not totally completely comfortable with the idea of being put on my podcast. But anyway, let me tell you about the Bobsey Bums. If you've read in my blog, you might have seen something about a friend of ours, Grandma Kay, and I mentioned the Bobsey Bums in there. When I was through hiking the Appalachian Trail in 1988, I ran into these two. We made pretty good friends, and we've been friends ever since, although there is a gap in there of 15 years where we didn't know where the other was. And they recently found me, and here we are camping in Virginia, enjoying a beautiful day at Peaks of Otter campground around the fire here. And say hello, Melanie and Bruce.
Hey, Chip.
Hey, Chip.
They're the Bobsey Bums. So, guys, do me a favor and refresh my memories, because there are huge chunks of the 80s that are kind of a blur to me. Tell me about when we first met, what you remember.
Oh, I see. I think we first met at Siler Bald Shelter on the AT, just north of Rainbow Spring Campground. And actually, that was one of the earlier, we were new on the trail, obviously, everybody was new on the trail back then, that far south. So we were still getting used to the idea of just sleeping in these shelters with all these strange people we didn't know. But we were starting to get more comfortable with it, and you were there. Grandma Kay was there, and
Ned Turner.
Mm-hmm. Another guy told me what it's all about. Scarlet Tanagers. I've never heard of Scarlet Tanagers.
That's right.
Was Ned the old guy in the picture?
Yeah, yes. Ned's the old guy in the yellow slicker.
And then there was a guy maybe 50-ish. It must be the Scarlet Tanager.
He's the guy that told us about the Scarlet Tanager.
Never heard of a Scarlet Tanager.
I'm mentioning the bird. We can hear the bird. Everything's coming through on this recording. Well, I remember something about we met on Waya Bald or something,
that was just north of Siler Bald.
Yeah, oh, was it?
Yeah.
So that wasn't the day.
North of the shelter.
Yeah, we saw you at Siler Bald.
We stopped for
a break,
for lunch.
And we watched you boil your utensils.
At Siler Bald? At
the shelter. Watched Chip clean, sterilize your...
Apparently, this had quite an effect on Melanie, that I was being very careful with the sanitation. And so I was, we're at a water source, plenty of water. So I was boiling my utensils there, and apparently this had some, I don't even understand it to this day, but it really kind of freaked her out.
Yeah.
It was so radical, she said.
I was scared. It's like, who's this guy boiling his stuff? Who is it? Never saw that before. Yeah, and then the next day,
just north of there, we ran into each other on a break. No, I think that was Waya Bald.
Waya Bald,
yeah. There was a little stone structure there, and a wall looking out.
Yeah,
nice
and
lookout.
I think it was my way of trying to connect to you, Chip.
As a Southerner.
And I said, you people cried when Elvis died, because I think you were talking about Elvis or something, and I'm like, oh, yes, you people cried when Elvis died.
And I forget
your
reaction.
And you look and you're like puzzled.
You went, you people.
You got me back when we did the PCT. You gave me an Elvis pin.
Yeah.
And I had that on my pack.
Well, the Elvis thing has been a thing ever since. I have been the whole time since that date. I've been looking for like an Elvis impersonator that I could have a picture taken with, just so I could send it to you.
Aww.
Because now I just want to state for the record here on the Salt Creek Gazette podcast that Elvis really doesn't do it for me. He's the king and all, but I mean, it's not my bag.
Mojo.
Anyway, we ended up hiking several days there together, and there was another lady that was hiking about the same pace. Her name was Kay Wood, and her trail name was Grandma Kay, and she was 70. She was about to turn 70, and she was an amazing woman. And the reason that Melanie even contacted me earlier this year was to let me know that Kay had died back in February. But she got to be 90 years old. She's an incredible lady.
So
did you guys go to the funeral or anything? Or?
No, she didn't. She didn't want anybody making a fuss. And she, because I expressed to her daughter, Linda, that I wanted to come. And she said, no, Kay doesn't want anybody driving in bad weather, and I think that was on the weekend. It was pretty bad. Yeah.
But we were fortunate enough to get up for her 90th birthday party the year, the year before.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah. And she didn't know we were coming.
Yeah, it was a total surprise for her.
And she was so excited that we were there and that Forrest was there. And she got to meet Forrest for the first time.
By the way, today was the first date I got to meet Forrest. Pretty groovy guy.
Me too.
Yeah, that was Katie Owen.
We get to meet Katie this weekend.
Now, Kay lived in Dalton, Massachusetts. And there's a trail shelter there, the Kaywood Shelter, built because she was involved with the Appalachian Trail Conservancy for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, at that time it was the Appalachian Trail Conference. Right?
Conference,
And I think it was the Appalachian Mountain.
Mountain Club, I think, was the region that she was
in. Berkshire chapter,
The term I came up with was she prepaid for her Appalachian Trail experience by being involved with trail maintenance for decades before she finally got her chance to go on the AT. Amazing.
Yeah, she was quite the trail maintainer. Get really interesting letters from her. This is when she's well into her 70s and saying how she's hauling logs up the trail for this
log bridges.
for whatever projects that they were doing.
It's amazing. I can't even imagine. I can barely walk up a trail, much less pull logs for bridges. This is the kind of life that I would, that everybody should have, as being that active, that alive. Bruce and Melanie were telling me a while ago that, right up to the last, to the very end, that she was always the same. And, at 90 years old, she's just going strong. But what happened, she had a fall, and then, as it happens frequently with the elderly, once you have a fall, you develop pneumonia. A lot of systems break down, and you just never really recover, and that's what happened with her, I'm sure. But, anyway, I admired her, and I had to, there was a day, I write this on my story on the blog about her, but which can be seen at www.saltcreekgazette.com. But anyway, I talk about there was a particular day that we all started out, we weren't necessarily hiking together, but we were hiking at the same pace, all of us. And so we'd all leave at different times or whatever, but we knew we were going to end up that night, would usually be the same place. And so that night, as that day during when I was hiking, every now and then I'd stop and hear Kay would catch me. And she's 69, I'm 28 or 27, I can't let a grandmother beat me, so I'm having to, I'm saddling up, man, humping down the trail. So finally, I get to Cable Gap Shelter that night, and I remember this clearly. I'm coming into camp, and I'm crowing just out loud because I can see that Melanie and Bruce, the bums, are already there. Hey, look who's the man. Look who beat Grandma Kay.
I can picture you coming in right now. I can just see you.
Ain't no 70-year-old woman beating me. And I probably stood there 5 minutes before she comes, right in behind me. So that's the kind of person Grandma Kay was. Anyway, now that was an ill-fated trip for me because I did not make it all the way to Katahdin. I got hurt and left the trail and then was dating a girl, and it was kind of comfortable and great and just really didn't have the proper motivation I guess I should have to get back out there. And, of course, if I had, there wouldn't be this Katie Owens over here or her brother Andy, and that had to happen. So that's a good thing I did. Yeah. So that's a good thing. The world needed both of these people. But anyway, you guys went on. So why don't you tell me a little about your adventures after Bandana Man. By the way, that was my trail name, Bandana Man. They were the Bobsy Bums. They had a collective. They're the only people I've ever known, actually, to have a collective trail name.
Oh, there were a lot out there.
Are there others?
I think there was the Family. They're the most recent ones that I've read about, the Family. Yeah. They're barefoot sisters.
Wait a minute, the Family? I'm having visions of.
Yeah, that doesn't sound. That sounds.
No, but it was a real family. It was a real family. I mean, a real family.
So not the Manson family.
Yeah, and more recent, there was the. It's called the Barefoot Sisters, and they. I read one of their books, and they hiked in bare feet along the Appalachian Trail. Yeah, I know.
I can't imagine.
They're like the celebrities of now. Yeah. Like. Todd Glatfelter and Cindy Ross were the celebrities of our era. Yeah. Yeah. But so
I don't know either of those names. The only celebrities
to us, I guess.
The only celebrity I would know would be Wingfoot.
Wingfoot, right. Yeah, he was definitely the big
sock salesman.
Yeah,
the sock guy.
Yeah, was he selling Thorlow?
Thorlow socks. Yeah. You had a deal with Thorlow.
Hey, that's why I buy Thorlows today because you know
because of Wingfoot.
Wingfoot had them in his pack.
That's right, Wingfoot. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
During the time I hiked with him, every night he would pull off his that day's Thorlows. He would write some kind of code on them or date or miles or whatever. Mm-hmm. Put them in a plastic bag, and then when he got to the next civilization, those would all go in a package to Thorlow so they could do their research. Yeah, literally. In fact, the reason that we had one of those, what do you call that pen, that Sharpie? The reason we had the Sharpie that we signed the bandana with is because he used that Sharpie. That's the only reason we had a Sharpie to sign that with.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, so, and it was his idea. Uh-huh. To when we signed that, I have a bandana here that was given to me by a common a friend of ours, Laura Blue Moon Schilf. Uh-huh. Blue Moon was her trail name. Mm-hmm. Schilf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was another one of these Yankee types, but
yeah, actually from the Chicago area.
Chicago, yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Chicago. But she had a bandana that's I'm looking at it right now. It has AT the AT logo all around it, and then little Vibram lug sole footprints all over it, and I was eyeing it, and I said something about it. I said, that isn't an AT bandana, and she knew at that moment she had to give it to me. Mm-hmm. So,
because you were already the bandana man.
I was already, right? I had all these bandanas festooning my backpack. I didn't mm-hmm. think about the weight, though.
Well, these days, everything's so ultra-lightweight, you'd mm-hmm. have nothing but bandanas.
That's right. Well, hey, I might be able to carry that. Yeah. Nothing. But, anyway, let's go back to my original question. Tell me about some of the things that happened with you guys on the trail that after I was gone. Some interesting stories, people you met.
Oh, gosh.
Good things.
Well, I mean, the whole hike was great. I mean, but we continued north. You know, how long was it before we decided we just weren't going to do the whole trail that year? Because that was early on. Mm-hmm. You put pressure on yourself. Oh, I'm going to do the whole trail this year. Mm-hmm. And it's a real rush. Yeah, you find yourself rushing too much.
And who's at that shelter and who's at this shelter, and it's like almost like this race to, and
to
you
make
don't
sure you
want
keep
it to
up.
Be, but it is. It kind of like, oh, well, they got to there and they got to there.
But
yeah.
I don't know. Finally, I think somewhere in southern, by the time we reached Damascus for trail days, I think we decided, hey, if we don't make it to mm-hmm. Katahdin this year, not a big deal. And and we didn't end up getting all the way to Katahdin, but we had a good run.
How far did you get?
I think we hiked in total about 1,500 miles the first year.
Yeah.
We kind of figured that out.
We got to
Gaithlin State Park in Maryland.
State Park, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we were real tired, needed a break. We were close to home by then, so friends came and picked us up.
And fed us.
And brought
showered
us back
us.
To Emmaus and Mel's parents' yeah. house.
And then
we got back on the trail.
At Lehigh Gap,
just mm-hmm. almost to the end of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Pennsylvania was our backyard, so we knew we could come back and piece that together later. And we continued on from there, I guess through New Jersey, New York, and up into Connecticut. And pretty much did all the way to, there was a small gap up there we did, and we picked that up later. That was close to Grandma Case's home.
Yeah,
Dalton. I had friends there, and they gave us a break from the trail and put us back in southern Vermont. And then from there, we made it up into New Hampshire in the White Mountains. And
I'm thinking of an interesting story.
Oh, yeah?
That Wauwianda State Park in New Jersey, where we almost
had our... Oh, my gosh.
First, we both... We're teetering
Sometimes on the
side of criminal activity.
Yes, the deprivation of the trail
can
push you to
things
you
never
would never consider doing.
Were we going to steal a pie off a window sill or what?
Close. It was better.
It was hot.
It was over 100.
And we thought,
we're going to go to, was it Wauwianda State Park in New Jersey?
Needed a break from the trail. So
it had a lake.
There's a beach and a lake. We'll go down there and spend the day on the beach and swim. And it'll be fun. Well, we got down there.
And we walked onto the beach and we're like, this is a frying pan. Why would anybody be laying out on a beach in
the
Scottish
River?
There
were mobs of people. I think it was a place that was
the New Yorkers,
lots of New Yorkers
city
came
people
out,
came
out
in,
from the city to spend the day in swimming. it was just a mob scene, and we just were horrified and thought, oh my God, did we? And we had, it was kind of hard to get down there from the trail. We had to, I don't know if we hitched a ride or we got down there somehow, and it was not what we were hoping for. So we retreated to the woods, laid
in
on a picnic table.
Grove.
Yeah, just laid on a picnic table and snapped and just waited for the heat of the day to pass.
But
and while we laid there, we kept smelling this wonderful
steak
roasting on a grill just a couple of tables down.
Oh. And we watched the steak, and we watched this family. And then we watched this family.
They left. They went to
and
go
they
swimming.
They left the steak on the grill.
And we were, oh my gosh, that looks good.
So we went and we got a stick. And we carefully sharpened the stick to get really sharp. And we're like planning how we're going to nonchalantly walk past
it and scoop that steak off the grill.
Stab the steak.
Now, we weren't going to take the whole thing. It was a big, like a chuck roast or something. But we noticed that there was a fairly sizable small piece on the end that didn't look attached. And we thought we could spear that and take it. So.
Steal the whole steak.
You guys are blowing my mind.
So So anyway, we finally said, okay, this is we're going to do it. We got to do it now. They're off to the beach. So we packed up our packs and we, Melanie had to do it. Melanie wasn't going to let me do it herself. So she, you do it. So I had the stick and she was walking out in front of me and we just kind of went walking nonchalantly past that grill.
And there was a family.
There was
on
another
the way.
Family.
They were watching us.
Another table over. I think they were onto us. I don't know. They just, what are these two people doing? But
and we were outnumbered.
So we walked on by. Melanie's out in front of me, so she didn't know if I speared it or not. So, and we get
did you get it? Did you get it?
Yeah, she turns around after we're out of the range. Did you get it? No, I couldn't do it. And she was so upset. You didn't do it. What are you talking about? And I just
poor steak. It was like getting grilled to.
It was getting grilled to death. Yeah, we thought we were going to save
it. My dad would have had a heart attack.
It was this. I mean, if you'd liberated that steak, you would really have been doing the right thing. Really, and, I mean, no.
That's what we were telling ourselves at the time.
Listen, these people didn't care about that steak. They wouldn't have walked off and left it cooking. You know? But okay, this have their admission of their criminal history now.
Near criminal.
It means that this is an opportune time for me to tell you a little bit about these two. There are different kinds of people that hike the Appalachian Trail, but I'd say by and large, the largest, the typical kind of a person you would find would be what we call a granola, you know, a real kind of a hippie outdoor person, I don't know, new agey and funky, but when I met these two, they were completely different kind of hiker. The reason they're called the Bodsy Bums is because they were the most archetypical American kids, American kids that you could possibly imagine. And I tell this story also in my Grandma K post, but because when you would hit town, you'd want to get your clothes washed if you could, and you'd go to the laundromat. And because we weren't carrying very much, most of us, you would dump all your clothes in there, and you'd be walking around in your rain suit, you know, for until your clothes got dry, you know, so that every other scrap of clothing you have. These two had, and tell me if I'm remembering
this. Right.
They had Ziploc bags with khaki shorts. Mm-hmm. Plaid button downs and like loafers.
Loafers?
No loafers.
You embellished with the loafers.
No.
Okay,
but we had camp shoes. Yeah, but not loafers.
Okay,
loafers.
I'm remembering loafers for some reason, but they were the most scrubbed and all American. They were not even remotely, granola-ish at that particular point. And as I understand, as their last story attests, that as they moved north, they went a little native. And
the whole town clothes thing we got from
Ed Garvey,
by the way.
Okay, yep. He was...
Ed Garvey, the guy that wrote the book
the
60s.
He wrote the book,
right.
And he said to always
carry
have
town clothes. And that's
where
we got the idea.
They weigh a lot, those town clothes. You have to carry those.
We eventually got rid of them. We were trying to decide earlier when we were driving down here. When did we get rid of the town clothes?
I think we didn't get rid of them until the PCT.
We might have, yeah. When we did the PCT, we stopped wearing town clothes.
And, well, recently, as we exchanged emails also, I got a confession. I'm going to bring it out here in public.
Oh, no.
This is going to, I'm outing you.
Uh-oh.
That Melanie had eyelash.
Oh, yeah.
Jacques. You had, so that, you know, you can see, and this is actually not, you can't blame this on them. One of the phenomenon on the trail is that, you know, a lot of inexperienced people set out to hike the entire Appalachian Trail, and people that never really backpacked. So naturally, what you know, when you're sitting around in your living room in civilization, thinking about what you absolutely have to have, you come up with a lot of stuff that you find out when you're on the trail weighs a lot. And so among the things I saw on the Appalachian Trail were entire, like, whole big jars, like a ball jar full of homemade jelly.
Oh, wow.
I saw a perfectly brand new sweater,
yeah,
wool sweater folded and laid next to the trail, and they said, hell, we're not carrying it another inch. No. I saw a pair of BK Knight tennis shoes. These were very popular leather high-top tennis shoes that cost about $100 and something a pair back then. There wasn't even any wearing on the tread. They were left in a trail shelter.
Mm-hmm.
One day I snacked on a pack of peanut butter. They were unopened. Believe me, it was okay. peanut butter.
Doesn't matter, Jeff.
A few hundred miles up the trail, and you wouldn't care if they were open.
I didn't care that day either.
Yeah.
But we were talking about Girl Scout cookies a while ago. Yeah. Those peanut butter Girl Scout cookies. You know, and so people leave the stuff all the time. So, you know, everybody, almost mm-hmm. everybody had started
we
with
had,
stuff.
We had an inflatable sink at first.
An inflatable
yes, we
sink.
Did. We had an
well, that's
sink,
quite an
yes.
invention, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, why do you need an inflatable sink?
To wash our dishes.
So you can wash your dishes.
That's
the
what
dishes
we were
quick,
told
too.
That we needed. But we got that one from Colin Fletcher.
Oh,
see,
did we have that one?
Colin Fletcher, The Complete Walker. That's the book that we used to read at night in bed
as we prepared
for a hike, because we knew nothing.
Colin,
that and that was the
we
Bible.
We knew nothing about
we
backpacking.
Knew nothing.
So when well, we decided to do the trail.
I highly suspect that Colin Fletcher probably had an endorsement deal with the inflatable
company.
Because I can't imagine a less useful thing to carry. Well, I mean, it's had its use, but it was too heavy.
Yeah, I
no, but then you used your inflatable sink. I think this thing was you used the inflatable sink to do deep, rapid river crossings. You know, because it was used as a flotation device.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. We didn't need that.
Which version did we have? The Complete Walker 3?
I don't know.
What was his name again? Colin
Fletcher. He was like the guru.
I wonder if he wrote. There was a book I read about. A backpacking book that may have been it.
Yeah, it could have been. We did the Complete Walker 3. I think he also did a Complete Walker 4. I mean, there was a 1 and 2.
Right.
But when we studied at night, you know, like in bed,
well, we
reading.
Didn't keep that sink too long before we decided this was
no,
not
that
worth
left.
Having.
And I think I got rid of my Shetland wool sweater, too.
Yeah.
Well, we mailed our stuff back. We didn't leave it on the trail.
There's tons. You could get a whole backpacking outfit. I mean, if you just started 40 or 50 miles from the trail and hike back, because I'm just telling
I couldn't
you.
Imagine people leaving stuff. That just went against my great and my German
well, let me
heritage.
Tell you, hey, that pair of shoes I told you about,
uh-huh.
they were my size.
Oh wow.
They fit
me.
Yeah, they were. It was in the Stokoas before we got to Fontana.
I remember those now. Yeah.
And I mean, I was smart enough to know, hell no, I'm not carrying these heavy leather tennis shoes. But I mean, it was tough because they were nice.
I remember those now. Yeah.
But that was not their fault. But anyway, the bums did become eventually as and this is a quote from Melanie in one of her earlier letters from back in the day. The Scotch Rard wore off,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they became big time hikers. Now listen, they after they finished the AT, when it took them a couple of seasons, mm-hmm. they then went off to do the Pacific Crest Trail in two parts. Right? Do I have
mm-hmm.
that right?
You yep, did
that
two parts, California yeah. the first year.
Okay.
Yep.
And then after that, they eventually ended up in a cabin in Alaska. So these guys not only were no longer the Bobsy bums that we knew in the early going, but they became hardcore granolas in the end. Okay, we're having a little fire issue. Where we have...
The campfire went all smoky.
Yeah, there's acrid smoke blowing into the eyes of the interviewer due to my daughter's fault here.
Yeah.
Okay, now, this
hey,
is also...
I've been grounded for fire. I need it.
Okay, that's fine, baby. This is another good point where we need to bring up another thing, and I think it would be worth, because, you know, talking about going native and everything. Let's talk about the naked hike.
Oh, gosh.
We made a discovery only a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay,
should
tell
we leave that?
Oh, God.
That's after
let's
the
yeah, start from the beginning. Yeah, let's hear the whole thing.
All right.
Okay.
Well, again... it gets pretty darn hot out in the trail. And the summer is progressing. It was getting hotter and hotter. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of chatter in the log books.
About people trail, hiking naked.
About hiking naked. Not that the people said they had done it, but just that it was just, hey, this would be a fun idea to do or whatever. I don't know.
Hey, listen, I got a letter that you said something about maybe Eric...
Minstrel?
No. I'm thinking of Sorefoot.
Yeah.
Oh, Sorefoot mentioned he'd done it. Maybe.
Oh, was that it? Okay.
What was Sorefoot's name, by the way?
Yeah. Stu.
Stu Sorefoot.
Stuart. I don't know his last name. New York or something?
No, he was from...
You know where he's from?
Memphis.
Oh, Memphis. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think it was Memphis. And okay. I remember he's the only person I ever saw carry Tabasco sauce.
Oh.
He worked in a restaurant and he had all these little bottles of Tabasco sauce that he got at every food drop.
Yeah, he was a nice guy I hiked with for a couple of days.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We kept bumping into him every time we jumped a section of trail and we'd run back into Stu. He'd go, where'd you guys come from? He hiked the whole thing. I don't know if he got the whole way that year or not.
So.
But
yeah.
We saw him quite often. And the only reason we saw him as often is because we
you kept
a piece
jumping.
Of trail.
Yeah, he was a young
he was a young,
fit,
fast hiker.
Yeah. Fat guy. But anyway, back to the nudity. Let's get back to the juice. Right?
So, okay, yeah. There's a lot of chatter about it. And so I started to... bug Melanie about it. It was it was near actually just north of the James River. I finally, I kept telling Melanie, man, I'd be able to give that a try. It'd be fun. It'd be nice and cool and relaxing. It'd just be fun. So, just north of the James River, and actually, I think we'd done a little skinny dip in a nice bathtub.
Yes, we did.
That was really wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're on the trail, and I just said, well, I didn't have a t-shirt on anyway. All I had was on my hiking shorts, and it's just. And I just, I'm taking these off and I'm hiking naked. So
but
I pulled them off.
But you kept a bandana close by.
Yeah, I always had a bandana
just
handy.
Just in case you need
I always
to cover
had a
up.
Bandana handy when I was hiking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm walking along naked and Melanie's just giggling and laughing. I couldn't talk her into doing
it. It was a beautiful view.
Couldn't talk her into doing it. But so we're hiking along and...
I was hiking behind. It was a beautiful view.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said in the letter. It's something about here he comes bouncing literally up the trail.
But then all of a sudden, I see Melanie. You must have got ahead of me because you stopped.
No, we.
And there was a couple coming up the trail.
Day hikers. They wouldn't understand.
Not true hikers.
Yeah, they wouldn't get it.
They wouldn't understand.
And I was like, oh, shoot. I had that bandana, so I tucked it in my hip belt, hanging down like a loincloth, covering all, possibly objectionable views. And
Possibly quite unobjectionable. According to Melanie, it was... The chick might have liked it anyway.
Yeah, who knows? So I just kept hiking on by, and Melanie paused long enough to
distract them.
To distract
them. Oh, hi, how
you
doing?
Yeah, Melanie's good at talking to people anyway.
But
they turned.
You
pick up the story. Yeah, you saw their reactions.
I was talking to them, and their heads, they didn't even look at me. As Bruce went by, they're just
there's
following him,
guy.
And I'm like, yeah, he's thinking. It was just like they said nothing. It was beautiful.
As soon as they were out of sight, I stopped and put my shorts back on.
Was that the entire experience?
And was the entire naked hiking experience. But the story does go on a little bit. Actually, that same day, though, not very much further, we run into a pack of Boy Scout troops.
Because I was thinking about
going
naked.
And Melanie was thinking hard about it.
I really wanted to
talk
do
about
it.
The Boy Scout trip of all time.
Well, I
came that close. They're really giving
did.
Them a
and
dream
I really,
trip.
I, part of me is like, wow, I'm really glad I didn't. But part of me was like, wow, it would have been exciting for them because they were in one of the... Now, let me finish.
Not just...
No, exciting because... These kids, I was horrified. Here it's like, it's close to 100 degrees. Their scoutmaster had them dressed in long sleeves, long pants,
fatigues,
the whole Boy
they
Scout.
They look like a little army troop.
And these kids needed something, you know?
They needed to see another way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would have been something.
Yeah.
I can assure you, I was a 12-year-old boy one time.
I did hike naked.
Where was that?
Oh, in Pennsylvania, when we were doing a section hike.
For the record, the bum's 16-year-old son is in the team. So they're pretty
He's
cool.
He's over there dying.
you hiked naked
ago.
Where now?
In Pennsylvania.
It was a very... And again, we ran into a mother and her young son hiking. Didn't you remember
this
that?
One whole, I, this
yeah,
one
that was,
my memory.
Yeah,
how did I forget that I talked into doing it?
Was
I naked with you?
No.
Oh, I wasn't.
Wow. You had her naked and you had your clothes on.
Oh, you were with me, but
right,
you weren't
but
naked
I wasn't.
With me. No. But no, it was just, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, and it, of course, strategically placed bandanas but I was just like, I mean, it was a young kid. He could have been like 7 or 8.
So this was when we were piecing together the Pennsylvania year after. Oh, okay.
The kind of stuff you dream of when you're 13.
Yeah.
But anyway, so years later, we are on a trip. Probably heading here.
It was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, the last time we came here to Peak Sabine.
And we were down at the James River.
There's a brand new hiking bridge across the James River.
That was spearheaded by Bill Foote and his wife.
They were very active in trail maintenance.
They got a pedestrian bridge built across the James River. And we're like, I want to see this bridge.
Yeah.
Because Bill's no longer with us. He passed away. But
we
wound up meeting a local. And
I guess he seemed to hang out around there. It was where the trail crossed, and he liked to meet
hikers.
He's
a trail angel, and he used to help out hikers and feed hikers and whatever.
So we got talking.
And we got talking.
Remember the term trail angels. We'll get back to that in a minute.
Okay,
go ahead.
So we're talking to him, and he goes something about, well, you know, June something, some day in June. I'm not sure which day it is.
This is where the naked hiking started.
Yeah, it's the national hike. It's the AT National Hiking
Naked
Day. And he goes, and it got started right up there.
And this is the same area that I'm just described.
In the 80s, he said. He gave us, like, dates, and we're like,
and
I'm
we're
just
like looking
at Bruce,
other.
And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. And I know it's just too coincidental. Like, I can't imagine.
Guys.
Well,
I don't know. You guys, you may have started a trend here.
Well, the only reason that we thought that perhaps things started and got blown out of proportion was because after Bruce's little naked hiking foray, how many weeks later, we met up with Harry the Hat, who came up behind
earlier.
Us.
Earlier,
It was like some, you know, reunion with him and talking. And then over dinner, while Bruce was off doing something, Harry says to me, he goes, Melanie, is it true that you guys only hike in the nude? Just like,
this couldn't have been
but
a week after that one incident happened. I don't know.
Like, what?
Like, no, we don't.
You realize what a service you guys provided. Here's the deal. The word gets back down the trail that you guys hiking in the nude, right? You've got maybe a hiker out there that's he's flagging a little bit. He's starting to get depressed, starting to miss his family, his home, but he's thinking about getting off the trail. And wait a minute, there's some naked hikers there. Suddenly, everybody's kicking into high gear to check out Melanie and Bruce hiking in the nude.
No, you don't want to do that anymore.
I'm thinking you guys did it real, but I enjoyed the letter I got from you guys talking about the naked hiking. And she's the bouncing literally up the trail. I like that. So
there is a national hiking day on the Appalachian Trail. That was before on the news. Yeah, last spring.
I am absolutely positive.
Is it called, you guys, illegal?
Probably.
Yes, it is.
It'll probably be.
And I'd advise you to never practice it.
Yes. Ever. I plan to. You either, Forrest.
I'll keep that in mind.
Oh, we could tell stories
that
there.
Really your plan, doesn't it?
Okay. I'm going to pause the recorder for a moment here and replenish our adult beverages and be back for part two in just a moment. So hang tight, folks. It'll be part
Stay
two.
Tuned while this message from our